pastor said, and I am from the U.S., from a place called Arkansas, which is next to Texas, if you guys don't know. It's not very famous, so there's some context there. So I have been in Nairobi for 1 year's time, me and Hannah, and I have been a part of one tribe for the same amount of time as well. And so why I'm in Kenya is that I get to partner with Hannah and the Jollies and some more great people on my team, and we get to work with local college students and believers in helping them be blessed to be a blessing for all nations. So that whole idea that like we have the knowledge of Jesus and there are people in the world that do not. And so we want to reach the unreached through the local church. And so we're thankful and blessed to be here in Kenya, and we are thankful to be part of one tribe. And I'm thankful to be here today, continuing in the I Am Sayings of Jesus series. So today we're going to be in John 14:6. And so I'm just going to quote it for you guys real quick. But Jesus answers and says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're just going to get into those three I Am sayings: the way, the truth, and the life. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for your glory, and I thank you that we know you. And let's pray in Jesus' name that you would help our hearts as we read today and as we learn today about more of your nature and character, and that you are revealing yourself to us more and more, so that we would know you and we would share you. And so I just pray for every heart to be open in Jesus' name for your glory, for our good, and for the good of the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So yeah, the way. Before we talk more about the way, I want to go further up in this chapter, in chapter 14. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them about how he's going to prepare a place for them, that his Father's house will have rooms for them. And Thomas, he comes into the scene, and I really like Thomas because he's really real. He doesn't have to put on this mask or this appearance of understanding what's going on. He's just real. He's like, "I don't know what's happening here." And so he tells Jesus, Jesus says to him, he's like, "Hey, I'm going, and you know the way." And John's like, "Oh, I don't know where you're going. I don't know the way." And so the cool thing is with doubt is that it's not a shameful thing to have questions and to have doubt, because we see that Jesus answered him. Because if Thomas didn't ask this question, Jesus may not have answered him. And we wouldn't have had this answer in Scripture today. That's a cool thought to think about. Out of someone's doubt, now we have an answer. And so Thomas, yeah, he asks this question. Jesus says, "I am the way, Thomas. I know you don't know, but I am the way." And that's cool because he didn't just make the way, which he did, but he himself is the way. And so that's a beautiful picture of the nature and character of God himself. And so as Thomas asked that question, many others asked that question today too, right? We have many religious systems in the world that all have this answer to this question of how do we get home? Or what is the way to God, to morality, to eternal life, whatever. And so Jesus is very different than all of those religious systems, right? So religion says, I have to fight my way to God. Because there's this issue, there's this chasm, right? Like God is high and holy, and we are not. And so in order to get to God and be reconciled, something has to happen between us two, right? And so religion says, okay, I have to dress this way. I have to give enough money or whatever. It's all these works. It's all focused on me. But then Jesus, what he says is, you are going to make it. Like no jump that you could make could get you to God. And so Jesus came to us. And so the difference between every other religious system and even some churches who profess Christianity, the difference between this religious system and Jesus is that he came for us. We didn't have to go to him. And so now that he came for us, we can fellowship and we can walk after him, but not to gain his love or his salvation, but out the overflow of that reconciliation to God. And so a claim like that is beautiful, but it's offensive, right? So in the U.S., there's this big kind of trend, and probably all over the world, but everyone's offended at everything. So if you ever go to the U.S., be ready for that. So anyone that has a different opinion than you have, it's very intolerant to speak in. So to say that Jesus is the only way, because he doesn't say, "Hey, I'm one of the ways," right? He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so to say that, it can be offensive to some people. But think of it this way. If you had a very serious illness, and you went to a doctor and you said, hey, here are my symptoms. I fear I'm going to die, but I need a cure. And the doctor says, hey, great news, guys. I have great news for you. You can be cured because I have this magic pill. I have this miracle pill that you can take and can cure every one of your symptoms and you can have life. Would you say, okay, give me the pill, or would you say, oh, I'm offended by the exclusivity of that pill? Would you say, oh, I need more options? I've heard there's tons of pills in the market today, so can I have one of those pills? Would that cure me? No, you would say, give me the pill. Like, I want to live. I want a cure. So the thing is that it would be unkind to the doctor, right? If the doctor said, actually, you're right. There are many other pills. We'll just give you one of those. That would be unkind of him because no other pill would do what this miracle pill would do. That's the same with Jesus. There's many roads you could walk down, but they're not going to lead you to the Father. They're not going to lead you to eternal life. They're not going to lead you to fellowship with God and His church. And so that's the difference between Jesus and religion. And so that's kind of what I think he's saying when he's talking about how I am the way. And this whole issue of being offended at the exclusivity of Jesus is not a new thing. It's happened over time. And so he's answering this question of there's not multiple ways to the Father and to eternal life. It's just me. And there's beauty in that. And so kind of some application for that. I wanted to take a second and think about what's an application for us personally and then what's an application for the world. So for us personally, so there's two categories. So one, if you have never had an opportunity to receive Jesus as the way, I want you guys to be in this understanding that you're welcome to receive him today. There's no reason to leave here without receiving him if you want him. And so he is calling you, he is beckoning you, you're not here by accident, and he is who sees you, he's the God that sees, he's the good shepherd, he's the way. And so if you've never received the gospel of Jesus, if you've never received him himself as the way, you are welcome to today. And so you can receive that and then you can rest in it. And we have a booklet, it's called Get Started, and it's back at our tables. And so if you have more questions, this is a process for you, we would love for you to get this book today. And also, if you need someone to pray with you or walk with you, anyone that's going to be willing to do that, especially leadership. And so, yeah, we are welcome today to walk in that right now. And then for those of us who have received him as the way, I want us to remember. Some of us have been in church for a short time, maybe for all of our lives, but sometimes it gets really easy to think about how this is so normal. And we're just like, of course he's the way. But he is. Like, I want us to remember and rest in the fact that we've been reconciled to God. And that, yeah, we have eternity with him, and we have now with him too. There's no need to walk like you're alone. There's no need to walk like you don't know the way. Because you know him, he lives inside of you, regardless of performance or doubt or whatever. He lives inside of you and wants you to grow closer to him and to share him. And so I want us to remember and I want us to rest in that it's sealed. And that also that he's the good shepherd and he walks with us. He doesn't just give us the way, but he walks the way with us. And so another application I want to think about is for the world. So if we have the knowledge of Jesus, and there are people in our families, in our communities that are lost, and if there are 2.9 billion people that are unreached with the gospel of Jesus, then what will we do with what we have? What will we do with the knowledge of the way? And so this is, One Tribe values innovation. We value dreams. And so if anyone in this place has a dream or a thing on their heart that they want to implement to reach the nations, please come talk to me. I would love to dream with you. I don't have all the answers, but this is what my heart beats for God's mission, for every tribe, tell the nation to know him. And also, if you don't have dreams, if you don't have a plan, if you have willingness, I'd love to talk to you as well. Because we all have a part to play, right? And this church hosts so many people who are working in ministries and have so many parts of this body of Christ because we're working together, right? And so we all have these dreams and passions on our hearts. So even if it's not to be unreached, come share your dream with someone. But yeah, I would love to speak with you guys more about how every tribe, tribe, nation needs the gospel of Jesus, and not every tribe, tribe, nation has it. And so, yeah, as the way, I want us to kind of go away from this meeting with just this idea that we'll be people who rest in the way, and we will be people who share the way and point others to it. Thank you.
Question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers? The truth. You can't handle the truth. question.
Oh, man.
Civil courts, you do it on a balance of probabilities, it's like 51%. On criminal courts, you do it on beyond reasonable doubt, about 75%. And you have this thing where if your client told you something, this is the British system, very different from the American system. If your client told you something and it was untrue and a lie, if he said on the side, actually, I did kill the guy, but don't tell the judge, you become known as what is professionally embarrassed. Okay, that was the term. If that happened, you'd excuse yourself and say, I can no longer represent you. Americans, actually, you can carry on representing your client, you can carry on lying to the judge. But that's another discussion. And the idea of truth, and we're talking about what is truth, and Jesus says, I am the truth. It's an absolute, it's non-negotiable. We live in a world where there is so much stuff out there that is not truth. And there is fake news, there's guys trying to get you to buy things on false misrepresentations, there's politicians, there's lawyers. I've got a young daughter who's come out now. I'm learning their definition of truth is somewhat different sometimes to what mum and I think truth is. So there's all of that. But Jesus says, I am the truth. And one of these things which I find really exciting about I am the truth is it is the embodiment of everything about God. Everything, the fulfillment of everything about God. I am the truth. So if you know the Bible, and we love what we did at the beginning about the names. All those names, from Genesis to Revelation, I am the truth. All of those, I am. Isn't that amazing? And the idea that he is the truth. And I genuinely believe, and we can discuss this afterwards, there are truths in many other faiths, with small t's. Okay? There is only one truth. Alright? And a friend of mine, Sheena, worked with in India with a Hindu priest who had been a Brahmin before. And a Brahmin is the highest priest you could be as a Hindu. And he came to know Christ because as he read the Sanskrit scriptures, which actually precede what the Torah and what we have as our Bible now by several thousand years, he started getting glimpses of this person called Jesus. And that led him ultimately to Christ. So, whilst absolutely Jesus is the truth, let's be aware that God, there are truths. But we're not pantheists, we don't believe in everyone, all roads lead to Rome, we don't. We believe in the truth. And one of the things which I love in the Bible is, it's not in the Bible, but I'll come on to that, the chaos theory. Who knows about the chaos theory? The chaos theory is basically, if a butterfly beats its wings in butterfly beats its wings in Madagascar, it can, through a chain of events, lead to a hurricane in Hawaii. All right, and there's physics and science as to how, with the probabilities and the motions from the smallest quark right up to a hurricane, they're linked. And if we look at the Bible, we see throughout the Bible, when we talk about Jesus being I am the truth, he didn't just arrive there. That was just a random thing, said I am the truth. That is a continuum that began from the moment that God saw the earth had fallen. And he said, how am I going to redeem everybody? And all the way through the Old Testament, in these truths growing like a hurricane to where we are today, which is Psalm Sunday. And that truth is, you see it, they talk about the red thread of grace, where all the time there's God judging, there's a grace, there's a remnant. He wipes out everybody, leaves a remnant. Out of that remnant, they move forward, they do something wrong, God wipes out, leaves another remnant, and it starts escalating to the ultimate truth, which is Jesus arriving. And what today I'd love us to look at very briefly is the truth that Jesus says, I am the truth, so everything about God, the embodiment of what we believe in the Bible is in him. The claims he makes about himself. Just think of all the claims. We talked to some of those names came through, I'm the resurrection, I'm the bread of life, I'm the way, the truth. Every claim that Jesus made about himself is true. And that's what he's saying. All of those things are found in me. And you don't have to follow the own physical code to have access to that. You have it because of what I did next Friday. Which will be not literally, but and I am the light of the world. And just the idea that everything that we believe as Christians is gradually taking us there. And the idea that throughout the Old Testament, they could only see but through glass, dark glass. And we have this revelation now, through Jesus, of what God looks like. And if we have these discussions about what is God, who is God, you know, how does he act, the great thing is Christians, we can point to this person who says, I am the truth. I represent all of that. And I think it's a great way when we're having a conversation with don't know Jesus. No one's got an issue. No one has beef with Jesus. They have beef with Christians, they have beef with religion, they have beef with the church, they have beef with some of our ideologies. Very few people will have beef with Jesus. And that's a great starting point from that. And as we go forward with this, the idea of, well, how does that affect us now? Because it is probably one of the oldest truths, which anyone who's been a Christian knows really well. I am the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. How do we look at that afresh? And I think the challenge I put to you this morning, as followers of Christ, number one, if you're not, I'm going to come on to you in a second, so you have to read that maybe, is earlier on in John, he talks about, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah? The truth shall set us free. And then he talks about, we'll worship God in spirit and in truth. And I think one of the things that when I was preparing this yesterday, God really put in my heart is, if you were in a place, as somebody who has been walking faithfully this road, and you just don't sense that sense of freedom, please at the end of today, come for prayer. Whatever it is, it could be freedom from legalism, freedom from fear, freedom from addiction, whatever it is, please use that. Because if we just leave truth standing there, without an application, without how does it affect you, how does it affect our community, how does it affect the world, then it's kind of all redundant. And so I'd really challenge you to really allow God, as we carry on together today, to touch you and to say, okay, where are you not experiencing that freedom that comes from truth? And so that's number one. Number two is, if you don't know him, one of the things that man is constantly looking for is a search for truth. All right, that's pretty well the thing that binds us, whatever shape, size, or color, wherever we come from, is the search for truth. And fundamentally, when we're looking at it, we look at three different types of truth, things that we're trying to do: fear of meaningless, fear of death, fear of spiders, no, fear of guilt. Okay? Guilt, meaningless, and death. Every human, that's conditioned common to man. And you'll find it in the truth of this. And I think as I come into that, in this quest for truth, and Albert Camus talks about man is searching for meaning, searching for truth, I would encourage you to, the ultimate truth, because we're on Psalm Sunday and we're saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we know that the ultimate truth, which is he's the resurrection and he died for you. Think about, and I think it's one of the most powerful stories, just that story of the prodigal son. Just go and read it, about the truth that there's this father who every day has gone to the end of the garden and hopefully going to come home one day. I don't think it's just people, prodigals, who don't know God. But in all of our lives, at some stage, we've been prodigals. And if you're one of those people who's just gone AWOL from God for a little bit, come back to that truth. He's just waiting for you to come home. If you've never experienced him, please come and chat to him. He's there. He's been searching you from you from Genesis all the way through those truths to the ultimate truth of his son. Thank you.
Morning, gents. This family of one child, we have a big month, together with my wife Marcy and our daughter. I do the ministry of street boys over in Nairobi, Kasarani, and Thika and Green. We work with close to 300 or 400 boys that we can have people for you. That's who I am, and that's me. I'm going to be sharing the other part of life. That Jesus said, I am the life. What does that mean to us, that Jesus is life to us? And that will take us back from the beginning when God created the earth. He created the earth full of life. Everything that God created had life in itself. Even the land gave birth to nature, vegetation, trees, the animals that are creeping animals, and all of those animals. And this is because the earth had life. And at the end, God created man and breathed his life in the nostrils of man, because man was special to him. So Jesus, he is the life of everything that lives. And Jesus, without him, there is no life. And we see today, people are trying to save life. People are trying to live a good life. Then everything that we do, the life we do, how we live, the work we do, the places we are living in, we try to live a good life because we value life. Yes. Governments are trying to make the world a better place where life is not threatened. We have the UN, the peacekeepers, because all that they are trying to do is to save life, to prevent life from dying. But one thing is missing, because in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned and they disobeyed God, death came in, and there's no way man have stopped that. And God had warned man and said, if you disobey, if you eat from this tree, then you will die. And since man disobeyed, death came into the world. And man has been fighting with death. How can they prevent death? They have done all kinds of research. There's all manner of teaching of how they can try to prevent death, but they cannot make it. And the reason is because something is missing to them. They cannot fix this. But you and me, who knows the truth, as we, our sister and brother have shared this, we know it's not something that is missing. It's Jesus who is missing. Jesus is missing in our families. Jesus is missing in our governments, in our society, in everything. He's missing. The life himself is missing. And that's why he came. That's why we are going to have Easter, to celebrate his death and resurrection. Because in his resurrection, we receive life. and they say that cancer that they might have life in their life. In John chapter 1 verse 4 it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men.
Yes.
Where there is light. And where there is no light. That's why we have evil things happening. People are killing each other. People are living life that is, I can't even talk about it, because something is missing to them. But it's a person. Jesus is missing. If we go back, if we come back to Jesus, and we receive this life, and live obediently in the light, walking the light, then we will have everlasting life. Like John said in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's all that you need to do. Believe in him. Follow him, obey him, and you have this eternal life. And us, me and you, who are already have already received him, for us is to continue that obedience, so that we do, as Kendra said, we'll reach out to the others. We'll share that life with the others. We'll share that life with the others. Let's not be selfish. Let's not blame people out there because of things they're doing. When we know the truth, and we know the way, and we know the life, and we are not sharing it with them. Why? Because some of us are feeling intimidated by our friends, by our family. We are ashamed of sharing our faith. Let's be bold. Let's be like Thomas, who did not shy away, but he asked.
Yes.
The others could not ask, but Thomas said, how can we know? And they got the answer. So let us also be the advocates for others. Let's go out there. Let's share the gospel. And Paul says we are called to this ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile the world to God. Jesus is the chief mediator.
Yes.
He reconciled us to him. And it's upon you and upon me to reach out those who have not yet received him and share these good news of life. And we see that in time to come, God has, Jesus did not just come so that we live a good life on earth.
Yes.
That we have, no, it's about eternity. And John, the one we are reading about, he saw in the revelation a new heaven and a new earth coming down.
Yes.
Because God had prepared it from the beginning. And in this new heaven and new earth, there will be no death. There will be no night. Because the life and the light will be there with it. Because the light is God himself, and the lampstand is Jesus. And Jesus being the light, and he is living in that city. There's no way there will have power in that city. We are not looking forward for a good life here on earth. We are looking forward for the future that God has. And what can I say? He's saying he's going to prepare a way. He's going to make a place for us. And he's not going to make a place that will not be inhabited. He's going to make a place so that it will be inhabited. A place full of life. May God bless you. Thank you.
What is Jesus doing amongst us this morning?